In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During this Sunday, so soon after the celebration of the Paschal Easter celebration of the resurrection of Christ, we are still in the Paschal season, the season during which, historically, the risen Christ was with the apostles. The ascension has not yet taken place. And while we are celebrating that time, and we are celebrating it in more than just reading and memory of these events historically, we are celebrating them because we have participated in them in the Holy Week, the week before the crucifixion of Christ. We have participated in a celebration of the resurrection of Christ after our 40 days fasting and the Holy Week. So we are participating in this time between the risen Christ coming to the apostles and the ascension and Pentecost in a real kind of way. And so the readings that we hear are very significant during this time. We read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles during this time. Now, these are actions, as we said last week, that did not take place until after Pentecost. And the key to understanding why we read them and what is going on with the things that the apostles are doing and the beginnings of the church is remembering that you cannot separate the experience of the apostles being in the presence of the risen Christ from the experience of the apostles and the church being in the presence of the Christ as the body of Christ after Pentecost. And in order to give us an understanding of that fact, which is related to our lives in the church down to this day, we hear these readings from the Acts of the Apostles, even during Pascha. Before Pentecost, we're hearing about the things that happened after Pentecost. And this is another story, like the one last week, this time about the choosing of the first deacons. And we are told that in the daily distribution, those who were Greek-speaking Jews, those are the ones they call the Hellenists, are not getting their share of the distribution. The money is being more fairly distributed, and the food and the clothing and the other things that are collected and held in common are being distributed more fairly to the Aramaic-speaking Jews who have become Christians. And so it's brought up as an issue. And the apostles decide that seven need to be chosen in order to make this distribution, because it's not right that the apostles themselves should take away from the time that they spend teaching and preaching. And so these first seven, accurately called almoners, because they are distributing what we would call alms. But where does this daily distribution come from? If you read all of the readings from the Acts of the Apostles, within the past week, you find out all of the Christians spontaneously gave of what they had into a common pool. Some of them gave everything. A lot of them gave everything. You weren't required to. It was spontaneous. It wasn't something the apostles formed some kind of an authoritative government and said, you must do this. This is the way we're going to organize the church. Everybody has to pool their common resources. That's not what happened. People did it spontaneously. Not everyone gave everything. You didn't have to. But there were two people who we read about in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles last Friday, Ananias and his wife, who sold all their property, but they kept some back for themselves. It's practical. There's no problem with that, except they went to the apostles and they said, we have sold everything. Here it is. We are giving everything to God. And Peter tested them. Are you sure? Yes, we have sold everything, and here it is. We are giving it to God. And Ananias was struck down dead. Later, his wife came, and the same thing was repeated. We have given everything. And she was given a chance to alter that and admit that they had kept some by for themselves. Nothing wrong with that. It wasn't imposed. But in this particular special time, filled with the glory of God and the presence of Christ, immediately after Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was filling the hearts and minds of all of these people came and tried to pretend that it was the same with them, whereas actually their faith was not that strong, but they pretended that it was, and they lied within this atmosphere of the fullness of the presence of the glory of God and the presence of Christ. And that's why they were struck down dead. It was like touching the ark. Something holy was going on, and they wanted to pretend that they were part of it, but they weren't part of it. And so they were struck down dead. It's another one of the stories of the events accurately kept from that early time after Pentecost. What are we to get out of that? Reading these things during Pascha about the beginnings of the church. In the 16th century, radical reformers who accurately recognized that the official organization of the church in the West was totally corrupt wanted to reform the church, and so they went to the book of the Acts of the Apostles to see what the early church was like. And so they read it, and they took their principles for organization from the book of the Acts of the Apostles to try to make their churches the way churches were at the beginning. Some interesting and different things came out of that depending on their interpretation. But at least today, I'm not sure it would have happened in the 16th century because we didn't understand the world in the same way in the 16th century as we do now. But if the Reformation happened today, I can tell you one thing for sure. There would be a Protestant group that read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and they would set up a church where if you were going to be a member, you had to take all of your possessions and give them to the church. And actually, Karl Marx's words, "from each according to his ability, to each according to his means," would be an accurate description of that interpretation of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The only problem is, that's not what's going on. That's not what's going on at all. And you can't do that with Scripture. You can't take a worldly point of view where your conviction is, this world is the way it is, and I will look at the Scripture, and I will pull out principles as to how to organize my life in this world. That's what the 16th century reformers were doing with the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Well, what was actually happening, if that's not what was happening? If the apostles weren't providing examples of how to organize a church by doing the things that they were doing, a way of understanding how to organize a church that is based on being impressed with the fact that Christ had risen from the dead. Not what's going on. Okay, what is going on? There is a breaking through into this world of things from the level at which they had been changed forever, outside of time and space, because that's what God was doing. God was changing the world absolutely, reclaiming it for himself and restoring it. It began to happen even during the crucifixion. One of the signs is that at the time of the crucifixion, when Christ died, it says in the Gospels that dead arose and walked around in Jerusalem. What is going on there? The Orthodox Christian understanding is that there is a breaking through from the end time, what we call the end time. There will be a time when this world that we live in, this broken world, will come to an end. Christ will return. His presence will fill everything, and he will divide the sheep from the goats. There will be a day of last judgment, and the world will be remade outwardly, visibly, not just within Christian hearts and souls, which is how it is now, but everywhere. The reality of things is that that has already happened. The time of this world will come to an end. My lifetime will come to an end, yours will, everyone's will come to an end. The lifetime of this world will play out. But it's not what the world is ultimately and fully. This world is broken and is not what it's supposed to be. When its lifetime comes to an end, Christ will come, and all of this will be sorted out. And the things that he has changed internally, not just internally inside of human beings, but internally inside of creation, will be outwardly revealed. And the world will be remade. And that's when the last judgment will come. That end time is breaking into time and space. That's why there are dead rising, walking around in the streets, because it's like the time of this world and the ultimate way things are as God is remaking them, the way he intended them to be, is overlapping. And so there are some things happening at the time of the crucifixion in time and space that have broken in from outside of the limitations of time and space. The Christian life is a breaking into the time of this world of something that is from the end. We are already living a life as if Christ had returned. At least that's what we're called to. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to live that life. And so, just like there are things that can't happen happening historically at the time of the crucifixion, the dead arising, walking around among the living. Things that can't happen, happen. After Pentecost, there are things happening that can't happen. And one of them is the voluntary giving up of all of their things, of these Christians. Because the glory of God fills all things the way the glory of God will fill all things after he comes a second time, after Christ comes a second time. That is what people are living. People are living that life. That is the beginning of this new life. And the key to this is the reality of the presence of God for 40 days after the resurrection. Christ, God, the risen Christ, is present to the apostles bodily. He is present with them bodily. Christ is present with the apostles bodily then. And Christ is also present, even more fully, after Pentecost, through the fact that the Holy Spirit is given to all of the members of the church. And he is present bodily, with a capital B, bodily. We are the body of Christ, we say. Are we? We don't know who's part of the body of Christ and who isn't, who's just pretending. But after the coming of the Holy Spirit, Christ is bodily present, and his bodily presence is the gathering of all of those who live by and through him. That's Christ. That's his body. Those people are the body of Christ. That's why God came into the world, in order to gather all human beings together into himself, bodily. And so Christ fulfills our humanity. Not just as some kind of abstract idea or doctrine or teaching, but in reality. And those who are living in those days so soon after Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, we see them living how they live, and we have a record of what they did. And those are the things that they did. It can't be taken as a set of crib notes and used as a kind of practical way of organizing the world. That's not possible. It's called socialism, and it's impossible. It's an impossible ideal of how people could possibly act. But it's never going to happen because people aren't that good. People aren't going to act like that. Except that at this time, they did. Not because they'd been given some kind of teaching about how you ought to live, that would make it possible for the reformers in the 16th century to write down a list of how things ought to be done in an organized church where you're going to reform, you know, society, do a human social reform. That won't work. The whole life that those people were living was a breaking into this world of time and space of the life of Christ. The church was the life of Christ. Those people were one with one another, as Jesus said, the way he was one with the Father, that's how they were one with one another. That's why they gave up everything to one another. That's why there were no poor among them. It was like paradise from the end time already being lived. We can still participate in that paradise life of the end time. We become members of that eternal church that was born at that time. The church has organizations, institutions. That's not what the church is. The church is what we see revealed just after Pentecost. And it still exists. And lots of people are members of it. And the interior lives of lots of people are being totally changed just as they were being totally changed in those times. Outwardly, the world is still as it was. Death is still present in the world. There's still suffering. There's still death. And the influence of death and the fear of death and people holding back because they're afraid, even though they're Christians, they're afraid of death. Having confidence in the world, even encouraging the church to organize itself according to the way of the world because, be practical, that's the way things really are. Even though all of that's going on, the eternal church that will be triumphant at the end of time and is really already triumphant now, for those who know it and are actually actively participating in it, by being gradually changed within themselves, you see. That's what's going on. And that process begins at Pentecost and is possible because Christ is present in the church. Not the way he was during the Paschal season with the apostles bodily, but he is present in the church in such a way that all of us can be transformed inwardly. And God can be an epiphany, a breaking through. That's what epiphany means, a breaking through from somewhere else into this world. The church is a breaking through from the end of time into this world. The Holy Spirit was a breaking through from outside of time and space of God coming into this world. If Christ is in us, it's because there has been an epiphany within ourselves. And he has broken through into our worldly lives and has begun the process of changing us and transforming us to be like him. That's why we hear these stories about the time after Pentecost, even before the ascension, when Christ is still bodily with the apostles, because it is a foreshadowing of how Christ will be even more fully present with the apostles and his church after the day of Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.